another episode of 5280 Nerd. I'm Micah McCartney.
And I'm Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode number 12. How was your week, Micah?
Dude, it was a really great week. Just kind of getting stuff ready for the whole engagement, wedding thing. Pretty much that's about it. Just kind of digesting all that. A buddy of mine's getting married next week. Friend that you and I both know. And so, yeah, I'm actually marrying them, like performing the ceremony. So trying to get that ready as well. And yeah, man.
Nice.
That's
yeah.
pretty much about it.
Big,
how
big
about
shout
you?
Out to Eric for sure. Eric and
yeah,
Michaela.
Man. Yeah, congrats. We're really excited. So
yeah,
really happy for them.
Yeah, man. It was a good week. It was really busy. My day job, being a graphic and web designer for a company, was super busy this week. We're working on launching a new site for our company. So that was, it's been pretty time consuming. But other than that, you know, life has been good. Been pretty busy for sure. But yeah, no complaints, man. Excited to be recording tonight. So
yeah, awesome, man. That's great. Yeah, well, I've been looking forward to this actually all week. It's, I think we have a lot of good things to talk about this week. So let me just do a recap of what we talked about last week. So last week I had a review for FIFA 16. We talked about Mass Effect with their 4D theme park that was coming. We talked about rumors for Watchmen TV series coming to HBO. We also talked about Amazon banning sales of Apple TV, Chromecast, and the Nexus player. And we had, Sean, it was so much fun, that debate of a disc-free future last week. I think our viewers...
listeners.
Our listeners, sorry, why do I always say viewers? Our listeners...
No worries.
Were thinking we were going to go to blows, I think.
Well, we did so, after the show.
We beat the hell out of each other after that.
It was pretty intense.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. You know, me and Mike always get a big kick out of doing that stuff with each other, and we're the best of friends. So yeah, it was good.
Good times for sure. That was a great episode. Yeah. This week, I'm really excited for this segment of, our two cents. Sean has a movie review. He went to go see The Martian.
Yes.
With Matt Damon, and I am really, really excited to hear what you thought of this movie, because I really wanted to see it in the theaters. So why don't you take it away and tell us what you thought?
Yeah, man. I, me and my wife went and saw The Martian. It was super good. It came out on the 2nd. It's rated PG-13. It's directed by Ridley Scott, and it, like Micah said, it starred Matt Damon. Some other people that are in it were Jessica Chastain, Kristen Wiig, which was weird to see her in there, because she doesn't normally play very straight-laced characters. But she did a great job, and she kind of was the comedy relief in the movie. Jeff Daniels, Michael Pena, a whole bunch of people, tons of stars on it. Great movie, though, man. I super, super enjoyed it. It was, like, the closest to being... like a realistic, not too far in the future, movie. I mean, like a lot of stuff that they talked about and they did, a lot of scientists and astronauts, you know, have come out and said, oh yeah, we actually could do all those things. Like a lot of the stuff that they had in the movie. But yeah, the story itself was great. Matt Damon did a phenomenal job. The basis of it is during a manned mission to Mars, astronaut Mark Watney, played by Matt Damon, is presumed dead after a crazy storm happens. This group of people are on Mars doing some research, seeing it, what it would be like to colonize there. A huge storm happens. He gets blown off. They think he's dead. They have to go because of some circumstances, and he gets left there. And the whole movie's about him surviving that situation and getting back to Earth. But yeah, it's a great movie. It's, I think it was like 2 hours and I want to say like 15, 20 minutes long. So a little bit over 2 hours. But we saw it in 3D, like the real D 3D, and it was amazing. Usually I'm not a big fan of 3D movies. But the cinematography was phenomenal. They had a lot of space scenes that, space just lends itself really well to that 3D. So yeah, man, overall I would definitely give it, I would say a solid 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say probably one of my favorite movies this year for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, man, it was, the acting was on point. The story was on point. They did some cheesy stuff cause they were trying to keep their PG-13 rating. So they had some jokes around dropping the F bomb instead of just going for it. I think like PG-13, you're allowed to have one or two F bombs, which I think they had two full on, F's in there. So yeah, it was really good though, man. The story was great. I like Michael Peña a lot. He was kind of the comedy relief in it.
I love Jeff Daniels because The Newsroom, and he's been in, it seems like, a lot of other movies recently, and he's a great serious actor, I think.
Dude, it is so hard for me to not think of Dumb and Dumber when I see Jeff Daniels.
Like on the toilet shitting his brains out.
Yeah, just getting like...
He's still a good actor, though. I mean, he's
pissing
still...
all over Harry.
You think he's a Lloyd, good sorry. Actor, though, right?
He is a good actor. He did a great job. He kind of plays the straight-laced man. Kind of like Newsroom. He's like the head of NASA in this movie. So he has to make a lot of really tough decisions. And so he kind of has to look at the bottom line, you know, how much it's going to cost, how it's going to affect the program, on top of how to be a moral person and save someone's life. So he does a great job at it. He actually plays that character really well, like a very calculating kind of person. So he did a great job. It still was weird for me because I think I watched Dumb and Dumber so many times when I was a kid. It was one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, me too.
And so, yeah, every time I see it, I just think of Harry. So, but no, he did a great job. Yeah, like I said, everybody in the movie was perfect at their role. So,
yeah. Well, I have Monday off, so maybe me and VV will go catch it. It looked awesome. I really want to see it. And a 9 out of 10, that sounds pretty amazing. So I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah. No, I would definitely say it's worth it 100%. And I would say seeing it in the theater is almost a must because if you catch it in 3D, like I said, it has great cinematography. 3D kind of gives me makes me queasy sometimes if it's not done right. And it didn't do that to me in this film at all. I felt like it was really comfortable. It wasn't cheesy. Like sometimes I think they overdo it. I think where they used it, they did it really well. So yeah.
Good, man. That's awesome. It's nice that there's an actual, good action movie out there. I mean, they did a good job with the previews. It was very enticing. I felt like you knew the premise from the trailer. You knew what the story was, and it still was very intriguing. So
yeah,
awesome, man.
You know, really, what it reminded me and my wife were both talking about this, that it reminded us of like Castaway. But like in space. So there's like a lot of weird little similarities to it. As far as like this guy being stranded somewhere and having to figure out how to survive. So obviously a lot more sci-fi-ish because it's in space. But yeah, I mean, and Ridley Scott, you can't go wrong with a space movie with Ridley Scott. He's the guy who directed all the Aliens movies and directing new ones coming out and Prometheus and all those other ones. So the guy knows space movies like nobody's business. So he nailed it for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, you got some more for us. You got that book, Ready Player One, that you finished this week. Tell me about that.
Yeah, this book's been out for a while. It has risen to bestsellers list all over. I finally had a chance to sit down and read it over a couple weeks. Great book. You know, honestly, I thought it was, wasn't really sure what to expect. I've heard a lot of raves about it. A lot of people saying that it was a good book. Finally had a chance. It's by Ernest Klein. Just a great book, man. It was super fun all the way through. Had a lot of references that were great. So basically, the book, if you haven't read it or heard about it, it's set in 2044. The Earth is kind of gone down the hill. It's gotten shittier and shittier. You know, poverty runs rampant, unemployment's huge, like just everything that's bad now has gotten way worse. There, and it's based on the exploits of this young man, Wade Watts. So basically, in the future, things get so bad. There's a guy who, he's a video game developer. He creates this, I want to call it like a virtual universe, like virtual oasis. It's actually called the Oasis, I think. Yeah. It's called the Oasis. It's like, Second Life, but it's like all 3D, virtual reality. Like you, it's very immersive. In the book, they have like, everything from like, you just have like gloves and a VR set to like full body suits that you could experience like touch and feel, and have like things that you could like actually smell aromas that are programmed in and all these other things. But it's, you know, the world's terrible. And so this is like a place where people are able to forget about what's going on in the world and escape to this place that's a clean, fun, safe environment that you could be anybody you want to be. So this Wade Watts kid, he's in high school. I think it's his senior year. He's super poor. And he's able to go into this world because he goes to high school online, actually, in the Oasis. They started these schools funded by the creator. But anyways, the creator passes away at the beginning of the book. And he leaves an Easter egg riddle for everybody, basically saying he doesn't have a family, anybody to leave all of his fortune to because he created this huge game. And he says, if you figure out this riddle and find this Easter egg, you can have all of my inheritance, all my stake in the company, all my wealth, billions and billions of dollars. Pretty much you could rule the world with this. And so in this video, it's like a riddle, and there's a whole series of this stuff in his will that are all based on 80s movies, books, songs, all this stuff from the 80s. So this is in the future, obviously 2044. And so it becomes like the cool fashion is everything 80s in the future. So there's tons of references throughout the whole book about, you know, risky business, war, all these like old 80s movies, songs, authors, and all this stuff. But yeah, so it's this kid's adventure through all this stuff. It was a great book. I would definitely recommend it. I don't want to give any more than that away because I think you should go read it. Yeah, man. Overall, I would definitely give it another 9 out of 10. One of the best books I've read. So.
Nice, dude. No, that sounds really interesting. I'm glad you left it there because it's enticed me enough to go and download it on my iPad from Kindle.
And the story is kind of pushed along through. So obviously to win this prize is this huge, you know, huge thing. There's another company that's like the, I don't know, I want to say like Google of the time, you know, and they're making money off the Oasis by selling. So to like travel through the Oasis, you have to use a portal, and so they charge you every time you travel, or if you want to go buy a new suit of armor or new clothes, like you would in like Second Life, you have to pay physical money to this company to buy digital goods. And so they're like scrambling, trying to find this Easter egg so that they get the rights to the Oasis, and then they could charge whatever they want, because the Oasis currently is like a free environment outside of, yeah. And so that's what's pushing this whole thing along. Wade Watts is getting closer to figuring this out. And so this company will stop at nothing to get it. And he's trying to get it to keep it free for everybody. So, yeah, man. Yeah, definitely check it out. I thought it was great. I actually liked it so much after I read it. I got the audio version of it. Yeah.
Oh, wow, nice.
So, yeah, just because I wanted to listen to it while I worked. And just kind of get that experience through that. Who narrates it? It's somebody, the guy from Star Trek that's the young kid. He's not young anymore, but what's his name?
The original Star Trek?
No. What's his name? He's on Big Bang Theory every now and then. Why can't I think of his name?
The guy who's Sheldon in the Big Bang Theory?
No. I think his name's Will Wheaton.
Wheaton. Oh, yeah. He narrates the
book. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I like Will Wheaton. Well, dude, that sounds like an awesome book. I'll definitely download that on my Kindle and give it. I don't know if I'll do audio or not, because I did the two Game of Thrones books audio. And I don't know. You must have really loved it to do both.
it's amazing. I guess Spielberg's actually working on making the movie, so which makes sense because a lot of the references in it are from his movies. So like Indiana Jones and stuff are referencing it a lot. So yeah, I don't know how they're gonna get the rest of the rights because it references everything from the '80s. So yeah, it's supposed to come out in like 2017. So you got some time to read it before it comes out. I would definitely say check it out for sure, either way. Great read. No, and it's really good so far. So.
I am on it. That's awesome. Well, thanks, dude. Thanks for that review.
Yeah, no problem. You had something to review, too. I know you got a new little toy in your life. So.
I did. I for the people hanging on the edge of their seat, I left Verizon Wireless to go to AT&T. I know. So exciting. But no, I did. It was for me because I did a lot of research on which couriers were the best. And
yeah,
which...
you were with Verizon for a long time. So.
I was with Verizon for, over 8 years. So it just came down to too much money. They do have the best service, and I definitely can tell now that I'm with AT&T, but it's not worth what you pay. And AT&T still has great service, but I got the new iPhone 6S. Got the space gray one, and I love it. So for this review, I don't have a ton of things. I'm not going to go through all the specs and everything about it, but
yeah. And if you are interested in that, we reviewed the keynote when they announced the phones, a couple episodes back. So definitely go check those out.
Yeah. I forgot about that. That's right. Good call. But, so I got the iPhone 6S. The best features that I enjoy on it are the pressing feature. The screen reacts to your pressure of your finger. And there's a lot of neat shortcuts that you can use in your messages or calling somebody or your mail. It's very, very useful. Very nice shortcut that I use for a lot of things. It's such a simple change, Sean, but it really makes it feel like a brand new everything. Whenever they add these shortcuts and make the OS a little more sleeker and newer, it's amazing how different it feels, but it's all familiar. I forgot that it was even like a new phone for a little while because it's the same operating system, but the shortcuts just make it so much more easier and enjoyable. Something else that I really enjoy is the photo taking, how you take a photo and it like is like a live photo. When you hold your finger down, it like shows like a couple seconds it's shot of like almost film before and after. And the resolution, by the way, 4K video is absolutely stunning. You can definitely tell the difference in resolution with videos. When you do your slow-mo or do these live pictures are just gorgeous, absolutely beautiful, especially with all the apps now, Sean, that you can throw filters on it and Instagram and all these other things. It's absolutely amazing the resolution that you can get with it. It's just an amazing piece of technology, and I'm so excited for what comes next. Everything about it, I really just enjoy it. But those are the two biggest features. If you're really an iPhone user now, the best advice that I could give you is absolutely buy this product. Apple has not let us down again. It's made an incredible product that's only going to get better and better and better and better. It feels like a totally new phone, but at the same time, it's very familiar. So I'm definitely going to give this a 9 out of 10. It's an incredible product, Sean. So I would recommend anyone who's going to make that plunge, if your contract's up and you want to upgrade, the only decision you have to make is the 6S or the 6S Plus. For me, the 6S Plus was a little too big. I was scared that I'd break the screen, and I just feel like it was a little too much phone for me, Sean. So,
I have the 6 Plus, by the way. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's just too big. The 6S is perfect for me. I had the 5C, so it is a bigger screen for me than what I had. But incredible, incredible piece of technology, and I've been enjoying it ever since.
Yeah, man. It was definitely an adjustment for me to go to the 6 Plus. But yeah, now that I'm finally used to it, I don't think I'd go back.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to upgrading. I haven't quite decided if it's going to make it into the 6S world or if I'm going to wait and hold out for 7. We'll just see. You know, right now I'm pretty happy with my phone. I had some cool experiences with it lately. I've had the wallet feature all set up for a while, the Apple Pay. And yeah, this last week I actually used it a couple times for the first time, and it worked great, and it was super convenient. I forgot my wallet in my car, and I took my wife's car to work one day, and we live like 25, 30 minutes away from where I work, but I had my phone, so I was able to go grab some lunch, and
technology.
It was great, man. Used my thumbprint. Yeah, it was awesome.
Awesome. No, that's awesome. Yeah, I wish I could use it. I can use it for some of my credit cards, but my main bank doesn't offer the Apple Pay with it yet.
Sure.
Yeah,
I know a lot of local banks are still kind of working their way. I know they said over the next couple years, it's just supposed to get bigger and bigger. So.
Yeah, I was really bummed with my main debit card, but my other credit cards, they offer it for it. So. It is a really cool feature. It's something that's brand new to me. I never used it with my 5C. So, yeah, man, that's awesome. Really cool.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to affect banks, banks that don't offer it right away. As it becomes more prevalent in society, I wonder if that's going to,
it'll definitely hurt them. I mean, I work at a bank.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, Chase offering their ATMs being incredible, where you don't have to use envelopes to put in deposits, and taking pictures to deposit checks. All of this is a necessity to the banking world now, and the Apple Pay is a little more forgiving. It isn't as mainstream. I wouldn't call it with the apps for taking pictures to deposit checks. That was a necessity that everybody was catching up to. Even credit unions offer that on their apps now, but they'll eventually catch up.
Yeah, so, I think so. I'm hopeful. It seems like I know this year they're rolling it out across the world, basically. A lot of different countries are getting it. So, yeah, man, I think it's definitely the way of the future. So, which is cool. It'd be nice to get to a point someday. I don't know how the identification side will work, but it'd be cool to get rid of the wallet altogether. Maybe just carry a phone.
I agree. So I completely agree. That would be really cool. So awesome, man. Cool. Well, let's hit it with the news this week. Let's start up. We heard that Hasbro has confirmed 4 more Transformers sequels.
Yes, sir.
And the world is asking why.
Yeah. So Hasbro Chief Content Officer Stephen Davis confirmed in a Q&A that Transformers 5, 6, 7, and 8 are in the works. They plotted out the next 10 years for the Transformer franchise. And like Micah said, we're all kind of wondering why. Why? Man, I just feel like I don't know if we need 4 more.
I mean, it's baffling. It really is to me. Yeah. Who thought these movies cost so much money to make?
Oh yeah.
What person thinks that they're gonna? Blows me away.
They always make a ton of money. That's the thing. So
I've only seen the first Transformers, and I liked it. And if they would have just left it at that, it would have been great. It'd be like, oh, yeah, I love Transformers. They did a great job with that. Maybe do a sequel 5 or 6 years down the road. But
I've seen all 4.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm part of the problem.
Well, yeah, so maybe that is the problem. It's kind of maybe it turns into a Fast and the Furious franchise.
It's
there.
It's always on. I think I've only seen 1 in a theater. but I have seen all of them at some point or another. So, yeah.
But do you see what I'm saying with the Fast and the Furious?
Oh my gosh,
that makes a ton of money though. It's super profitable.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, you can't throw shade at somebody who's like, well, you guys keep going and seeing it, and it's like the whole, you know, Justin Bieber or any other pop star, like, they only exist because somebody's listening to them. Like, if you hate them, they're still, like, the only reason they're in everything is because somebody's listening to them. So, yeah, they obviously have an audience. But, yeah, definitely I don't think there's a need for them, especially with, it seems like, between all the Marvel and DC movies that are coming out over the next 10 years, like, that's going to be a crowded market. So
I agree. It is something that doesn't make sense to me, but at the same time, like, could be worse things coming out. Like, I do enjoy Transformers. I watched that a lot. I had Transformers when I was a kid.
Totally.
It is,
love the cartoon. Had tons of Transformers. I bought Transformers still, so.
Yeah, no, it's nostalgic, and I love it, but they've definitely beat it to hell and done it a million times. I mean, if they got a really good cast and really thought about a script, maybe it could be great. So I'm not, like, hating on it, but at the same time, I feel like a Transformer movie that I feel like would be in good taste coming out would be like 3 or 4 years from now. I'd be like, oh yeah, they're doing Transformers again, that's cool. But I don't know, it just seems a little too excessive for me. But who knows, we could be watching it and being like, wow, this is great, who knows.
From what I heard, 5 is the only one that's, like, officially, like, in the works at the moment, and it's, from what I heard also, is it's mostly it's Optimus Prime leaves Earth, so I think it's, like, almost entirely CGI. Like, I don't know if there are humans in it.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be an interesting take.
Yeah, and saves them money on not having to pay actors. So
that's true. That's
it's like
very
it's
true.
Just raking more money, you know. And maybe they will have humans. I don't know. From what that was a rumor that I heard. I don't know if that's the actual fact yet. But yeah, I guess I could see 4 more movies if you got rid of the actor element, because you're not having to worry about keeping somebody on for 10 years. You know, you're not having to pay them for all that time. I mean, you're paying a company a ton of time in rendering models and stuff, but.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Either way, I think this is.
Yeah, maybe one more would be fine.
Exactly, but maybe a little excessive, not completely for it, but I guess I'd have to wait and see. I guess that's where I'll take my stand, just kind of wait and see. It could be great, but I'm not too hopeful for it. Just pretty shocking news that they were announcing 4 more sequels. It seems
you got to think, like, Hasbro definitely trying to make a big move in the movie world. So I get, like, that's probably their biggest franchise, and trying to keep up with Marvel and DC at the same time, you kind of got to jump on where you can. I think Hasbro does the Ninja Turtle movies, right, as well?
I'm not 100% sure who owns the cinematic rights for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I didn't see that. That's actually on Netflix. I'll have to watch that, because it got bad reviews, but I'm a sucker for Teenage... Oh, you didn't like it?
No. See,
I didn't see it.
I saw the old ones that were, like, animatronic, like, dudes in suits, Ninja Turtles.
Like, rubber faces. Those were awesome.
I fucking love those movies, man.
Those
like,
are
they
great.
They were so
yeah.
good. I actually own them all on DVD.
yeah.
My wife refuses to watch them with me, but they are so good, man.
Our little Yorkie looks like the Splinter from that movie. With like he looks like that rat with the rat
nice.
Hair. Oh, Master Splinter. yeah. Yeah, no, I love those movies. Those are great. Those
yeah.
are great.
The new ones aren't as good. I'll just say that. I didn't feel like they were that great. I thought Megan Fox did a terrible job as April O'Neil, but oh well.
I don't know how bad she could have done. I mean, you can hate her all you want, but she is gorgeous.
Yeah, that's true.
Just saying that.
Yeah. That's the only reason Transformers probably worked. That's the only reason it got off.
yeah. Yeah, but, you're probably right. So yeah, we'll wait and see. We don't know.
Yeah, we'll see if it could hold up with the rest of the movies that are coming out. So, well, yeah, man. Looks like we also had Jared Leto reached out to Grant Morrison for advice on how to play the Joker in Suicide Squad?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of buzz about Jared Leto on the Suicide Squad this week. There was another article. I didn't put it in the show, but I'll just briefly mention it. But Will Smith was also interviewed and talked about, you know, the Suicide Squad, and they were asking him, oh, how, you know, working with Jared Leto, how was that with the whole Joker thing? And he said, I never met Jared Leto, the person. I only met the Joker.
Oh,
he
really?
Literally said that Jared Leto was in character the whole entire time that they had filmed. Even when the camera had cut, he was still in, like, character. There was no, like, hey, let's rework the scene this way. It was, like, very serious, very real. There's also other stories about Jared Leto sending gifts to the cast members as the Joker.
Oh, wow.
Like Harley Quinn, he sent her this rat in this package that was all creepy. And he wasn't able to make it to, like, the final casting party to, like, celebrate the end of filming the movie. So he sent the whole cast a hog, like a pig, like a dead pig. And so he would send, like, weird stuff like that. And they're like, you know, Jared took this role very seriously. And a lot of respect. But the reason why I wanted to bring this up particularly and kind of dive into this, Grant Morrison is my favorite comic book writer, hands down, ever, the end. He's a genius. What he's done with Batman and Robin, which we've talked about in our top five, is my favorite comic book of all time. Nothing even touches it, really. Batman Incorporated he did, which is incredible. The ending to that is... I don't want to ruin it, but I wish I could talk about it, but I don't want to spoil it for you. It's just so incredible. He has such a great grasp on who Batman is as a character, and man, does it show in his comics. So when I heard that Jared Leto reached out to Grant Morrison, in my mind, who's the father of Batman because he's written Batman the best, he didn't create Batman, but in my opinion, Grant Morrison has written Batman the best. I thought that that was very encouraging for the Suicide Squad. Sean, I don't know about you, but when I heard that, I was like, wow, Grant Morrison is going to direct him in a way that he's going to give him great advice about the Joker. This was very encouraging. This made me about a million times more excited for the Suicide Squad. What do you think about this, Sean?
Yeah, man, from what I've heard, Jared Leto is huge into method acting. Every role he's taken on, he dives into 100%. He's played some strange roles throughout his career, for sure. He's played some really weird roles. I think it's really smart, man. You know, I know Heath Ledger reached out to Jack Nicholson when he was playing the Joker, you know, just trying to get some inspiration. Like, how do you get into the mind of this insane person? And I think that Grant Morrison, that's a perfect person to kind of, you know, figure out. He's written him for so long, and he's tried to tell the story of him through comic books for such a long time. I think you couldn't find a better person to try to dive into the psyche of it all. He was quoted in that article. He said, Leto called me to talk about this, his approach to the character, and I steered him in a few directions. I'm keen to see if anything other than slicked back hair and Marilyn Manson vibe made it into his performance. So I'm sure you went over a lot of notes with him. You know, everybody saw that initial image that leaked of Leto and kind of sent the internet into an uproar. Because it was, you know, the lime green hair and the tattoos and the fake teeth and all that stuff. I think Leto could pull it off for sure. And from what I've heard, it sounds like he really embraced the character. So definitely interested to see his take on it.
Yeah, I would say the initial pictures that had come out on the internet, me and Sean both were disgusted. We're like, oh, great. Yeah. This is going to be stupid. Like,
does he have a ha-ha-ha tattoo? That's retarded.
Yeah. Like, I did not like the tattoos at all. Like, if I understand the hair slicked back because the newest Joker written in the New 52 has that look and has, like, the shaved eyebrows. And that's great. I like that as opposed to the long hair that Heath Ledger had done. So that was great. But the whole tattoo thing I didn't like. The teeth didn't bother me, but the tattoos kind of made him look like a gangster instead of a crazy person. And now that I've seen the trailer and I hear more and more stories, I'm okay with it and I'm excited about it. And I think it's going to be a fantastic movie. Probably, you know, I'm the thing that I'm looking forward to the most, Sean, is what will he be compared to Heath Ledger's performance? And I think it's going to be great. I think it could rival it or even be better than it. I don't know. But, yeah, when I know first initial thoughts, man, I remember when I first saw the picture, I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
But I think it ended up
different Joker for sure, man.
Yeah. And that's good. Like, good on Jared Leto for him being like, you know, Heath Ledger did it the best, but I want to do it my way and do it completely different. So good on him for not just mimicking Heath Ledger, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's like, I've been watching Gotham, and I think episode 3 came out, and there was that character that was like supposedly supposed to be the Joker. And he was this crazy kid, and he has this insane laugh, and he actually, spoiler alert, so if you're watching Gotham and you haven't seen episode 3 yet, shut off your podcast for a second. He dies, and so he's not the Joker, or at least unless he comes back to life somehow. But it looked like he was very much going to be the Joker in Gotham's series. And then I guess they talked to the director, and they asked him about it, and they said in Gotham's universe, right now the Joker is just an ideal. And so it even ends episode 3 after he dies. Like, all these people start, like, they see him. There's a scene where he kills this precinct full of cops, and it's filmed and it gets out into the world, and he's doing his like Joker laugh, and they start laughing and they start just killing each other. Like, all these people just start murdering each other. And so it's like this idea of Joker's building, of what this, whoever becomes the Joker kind of encompasses this vibe, this kinda insanity,
like anarchy
vibe. Totally. Yeah, like the scary underbelly of the world, and it's like slowly bubbling up to become, and I think Leto, from what I've seen so far, like encompasses that just crazy, like batshit crazy, like,
yeah,
insane person. Because yeah, like also, like you had said, I had heard a ton of stuff, like Margaret Robbie, who plays who plays Harley Quinn, said she was like terrified of Jared Leto during like filming, because he was that, he just encompassed that character so well. So yeah, man, I think it's going to be really good. Hopefully, from what I heard, he's supposed to carry that role into the new Batman movies as well, because I think Batman even makes an appearance, Batfleck makes an appearance, or at least his car does or something.
No, he definitely, yeah. 100% guarantee. He's on the back of, because I remember seeing the footage of Ben Affleck in Toronto where they filmed Suicide Squad. And there was all, unfortunately, we live in a world where spoilers are everywhere, but he is, there's real film you can see on YouTube of him like riding the Lamborghini.
Yeah, that's right.
In a bat suit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And he's
sure.
in the trailer too.
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge part, but I think they just made a nod that this universe is colliding, you know, like...
For sure. No, yeah, absolutely.
This is all in the same universe, so... yeah, man, that's... I'm really excited to see it. Everybody that listens to the show knows that me and Mike are huge Batman nerds. So, like, yeah, just the thought of, like, a new Joker and Batman and all this stuff just gets us going, so...
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for... Jared Leto to do this, and like I said, this just really lifted my spirits and really confirmed to me that Jared Leto knew, he probably did a bunch of research and read a bunch of comics and said, okay, who wrote this? Grant Morrison? Okay, yeah, that's who I need to go to figure out how I need to be the Joker the best way, because Grant Morrison, his portrayal of the Joker in the Batman and Robin with Damian, that scene where the Joker's taunting Damien in that police room and Damien takes a crowbar to him and ends up tricking him. He's just the most deceitful, tricky villain ever. And I don't know. I just love the portrayal of the Joker in that Batman and Robin. And I'm really, really excited that Jared Leto went to the man himself. So we'll see. This picks up a lot of excitement for me, even more so than I had for Suicide Squad. So next year, man.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Looking forward to it, man. So next up we have Destiny is embracing microtransactions. That's
yeah, this was huge news in the Destiny community this week. Starting October 13th, players will be given the ability to purchase additional emotes. Now, there was a vendor, her name was Tess Everest. They actually took her out of the tower. She's out of the tower right now. That was a while ago, before the 2.0 update ever even came. She was like the person who gave you like special packages. I don't know if you remember that, Sean. Sure. She's like a blonde. And she is returning on October 13th, and she is the vendor that you will buy these things from. So there's a new currency in Destiny called Silver, which you purchase with real money, and that's what you will use to buy these emotes. And it is suspected, they haven't confirmed it, that shaders will also be a part of this. The reason why the community does not, Planet Destiny, Fireteam Chat, a bunch of podcasts that I listen to are all right. I completely agree with them. This is a very slippery slope. If you start selling microtransactions that are like weapons or things that help you level up, and you'd only have to pay money for that instead of doing in-game experience to get these things, it will damage the game and the community in a great, great way. If anyone could have just bought Galahorn in year one, that would have diminished the whole rarity and fun of that weapon, and it would have destroyed part of the game. It doesn't make it fun if you can just buy it with real money. Do you know what I mean, Sean? And that's what a lot of the community is scared about. They're scared that they're going to start doing, Activision is going to be like, look, this is making us a ton of money, let's start selling weapons. And who knows? I mean, it might be armor that they sell as well. Destiny is not, Bungie has not confirmed that it is only emotes and shaders that will be sold. What do you think about this?
No, but yeah. The caveat right now, currently though, the only thing that they've announced is that there's 18 brand new emotes, like the trio emotes offered from the Taken King Collector's Edition, and the emotes have no impact on
they don't
in any in any way whatsoever.
Right.
So their first endeavor into this is something that's completely worthless,
which is fine.
To Micah's point. Is the only way you could even dip your toe into this, which is still stupid because they're going to sell $1 billion of these things in the first week because people are idiots. And it kind of goes back to our point, like we were talking in our great debate, that game companies will find a way to make money no matter what. Like, if they're stuck at selling a game for $60, they're going to release 10 DLC packs so that you end up spending $150. And then now they're looking into, let's make additional content. You want to make your character extra special? Like, just throw some money our way and we could get that done for you.
Yeah, you can't beat that quest and get the sleeper stimulant? Oh, okay, we'll just sell it for 100 silver, so it'll cost you $20 for the gun. Now,
totally.
That's not okay. Like, that totally diminishes the game.
It's a scary, dangerous path that they're kind of walking down right now, and it's a scary line. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with all the other people that are out in our community talking about this, that it's a scary line, and it potentially could ruin the game.
It really could. I mean, like, if they did start selling those things, I'm not coughing up money for Destiny to buy extra guns and weapons. I will not. I just, at that point, I'd probably stop playing the game, because if you get a great weapon that's good in the Crucible and PvP and you have to pay money for that, then you really can't play unless you get that weapon. And you can't tell me that Activision is not going to be greedy motherfuckers that are going to be like, oh my gosh, we made so much money from the emotes. Let's do shaders. Oh, we made those sold out too. Oh, great. Let's do this. Like, I just, this really scares me. This really could hurt Destiny, Sean. And I guarantee
it could hurt all games. I mean, it's setting a precedence,
yeah,
across platform, you know, and they're, it's such a big game right now. They have the opportunity to reach so many people. And so if it works, which it could, you know, that's the way mobile gaming currently works. A lot of it is microtransactions. But, you know, on the flip side of that, a microtransaction game on your phone initially is free for the most part. And then you could buy things. And the games usually aren't as fun. Embarrassing point to me and Micah's life. We both played the Simpsons game for a while. And I think we both spent like $50.
I might have spent more, yeah.
Yeah, we both got into this like war where we wanted to beat each other into who got the highest level, and they got us. They tricked us. They pulled us right in.
EA got us. Money on it. Actually, I just recently downloaded that again, Sean.
Did you?
And I've been playing it. I haven't spent any money, but
don't spend money,
dude.
You're part of the problem,
dude. It's fun, but
yeah. So yeah. I could see them seeing that and then thinking, okay, we need to get in on this. But the biggest difference is I've already spent $100 on this game. From buying it and then buying the DLCs with it, I think it's bullcrap that if it becomes, especially something that's so competitive, especially in like Crucible,
huge,
or trying to level up, the whole point of the game, of dredging through this game day after day, is that you're earning enough to get to the next level. And if you take that away by just me giving you $20, then that's...
It diminishes insane. The reward system. If,
totally.
If I am trying to do a quest, what's the reward in me even doing that? It just takes the fun out of the game 100%. And Sean, I'm very nervous about this. I think that they are going to run with this in a bad direction. I really honestly do.
And it could easily go into a billion other games if it works out, is what the scary part is.
I just love the League of Legends model. The whole free to play thing is so appealing to me that it just makes me want to be a diehard zealot of that game, because it's just, if you want to buy a skin that you think's cool, okay, sure, you can buy it, but it's not going to affect your skill at all in the game. That's appealing to me. That's fun. You didn't have to pay anything for the game, and you don't have to pay anything for the game, and you can have just as much fun for free. That option to a gamer is crucial and awesome, and I hope that model happens more in console games than just PC. But I don't know. Smite's there. I have played a couple games of Smite on Xbox One, which is a MOBA style game, and it's fun, but it's not the same as League of Legends. It's like imagine, Sean, League of Legends and a first person with an Xbox controller. It's just not the same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, man, I agree 100%. If they honestly can keep it to just emotes and even shaders, totally fine.
That's totally fine with me, too.
Yeah, because there are times that I'm like, I'm stuck with some stupid purple shader that I don't want.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to waste Glimmer that actually helps me advance in the game on something that doesn't do anything for me. I'd give $5 to just get the shader that I want, that I know I'm going to play with probably for the next year, because it's like black on black or gray or something cool like red, or I don't know, something that I wanted. Doesn't affect my character, doesn't make me more powerful. It's just the way it looks. Totally down for that. That's fine. I could live with that.
Right. I completely
agree.
But
it is a scary line that they're dancing on. And it does just take that one guy that's like, well, what if we released a special gun that's like, $5, you could get it.
Yeah, and so the thought process behind this is they said it's for their live team that they've hired. Oh, well, we hired a live team, and this will fund that. Well, what does a live team do? Oh, well, they're going to have those updates that everyone's been wanting so that the meta doesn't stay the same for 7 months in the Crucible. Because I don't know if the days of Thorn in the Crucible were the most horrible things And that was a horrible time for Destiny because nobody wanted to play online because you either had Thorn or Last Word or it was a shotgun, blink shotgun. They hadn't nerfed any of that. So this live team's supposed to have updates more frequently. And also they are supposed to update, give you more quests for free, supposedly. That's what Bungie's saying. Sure. And
my $100 didn't pay for
exactly.
That needed to be extra.
That $1 billion that Activision got just from that game. Yeah. Not to mention what they're going to make off the Call of Duty coming out of Christmas. Sure. Give me a break. This whole live team BS made me lose a lot of respect for Bungie. I think this is a horrible idea, even if it is just for, I mean, it's okay if it's just going to be for that, but I know it's not going to be just for aesthetic things in the game. There's no way that they're going
to say we're going to charge you more money to make your game better.
Yeah.
It's like, that's insane. Like, just make the game better. Like, don't charge me more for it. Like,
yeah.
Of course the game is going to be better if you keep taking money from me.
Yeah, it's something I was very disappointed about. I hope that Destiny is a game that I can play for years and years, but I'll tell you right now, if it is something that's weapons, or I will probably stop playing Destiny.
Yeah, man. Well, time will tell. Let's just hope for the best and hope the community rallies enough and yells back enough that they don't do anything stupid like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I found this next article. I thought deserved to be on the show because it was very interesting to me, and I thought I wanted to get Sean's idea on it. Disney is making a big attempt to take kids away from video games. They just released this. It's called a Playmation toy with the Iron Man Avenger Gauntlet. So, Sean, in the show notes, I'll try to link a video. They have like a little demonstration of how to use this toy in a YouTube video from Playmation. I don't know if you saw the video. It's 100.
I did, and it looks awesome.
It looks awesome. The video for it. I mean, I wish I had that when I was a kid. I just imagined. I didn't actually get like $120 toy with a bunch of 12 AA batteries to do that. I just imagined it with like a thing I made out of cardboard. You know.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think this is a great thing. So it's $120 Iron Man toy, the starter pack for Disney's first line of Playmation toys, based on the Avengers. It does require 12 AA batteries. The main toy is the Iron Man Gauntlet. It's like fits around your wrist, and then there's something that goes over your hand, so it rumbles and it kind of like shoots back when you shoot. Really cool. You also get two action figures and a lot electronic bases for them to stand on that interact with you. So it's really cool. So like Captain America's on one of these things, and he's like calling out commands to you and talking to you, and it like lights up from the base with a little light. And there's also this little little evil droid thing that kind of rolls around on the ground that you just kind of have to shoot at, and it like rolls away, and it's going around the room and it shoots back at you. And it's really cool for a little kid to be playing with. I mean, something that they're running behind their desk or running behind their dresser, and they're playing in their room, and it's something interactive that's not based on a TV. It's based on imagination. And I found this to be really cool because my parents regulated how much video games I played as a kid. Most parents do. If your parents didn't, that's fine. Video games are great. If it's a hobby that a kid enjoys, that's fine. But it also is good to get out and imagine things and have fun with your friends. And you know what I mean? There's a good balance. And I think that in this digital age that we're in, there isn't a lot of imagination with kids. They just play video games or computer games, or you know what I mean? And I thought it was really cool that Disney was trying to make a toy and kind of bring toys back again into a child's life that was different and kind of nostalgic of how I grew up. I thought it was really cool. What did you think about this, Sean? It was a really cool toy, a really cool idea.
Yeah, no, definitely. I know that they do actually have, there's an iOS app that's coming out that it's not necessarily part of it, but you could use it to play along with it. And I think it has like it's like Jarvis giving you command, like you're telling Jarvis commands through your phone. So I know that there's like a little bit of mobile stuff into it, but you can totally play it without a phone. You could still do like the characters and the gauntlet or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I think it's cool. I think, like we both said, we both would have loved to have that when we were kids. I think, yeah, man, $120 is pretty steep. To try to get your kid not to play a video game.
It's cheaper than $400 for a PS4 or an Xbox One, if you look at it like that.
True. But any kid that's getting this thing already has an Xbox or a PS4. Let's be honest.
No, I don't know.
It's not like Johnny's going to be like, okay, what do you want for Christmas? And he doesn't have a PlayStation or anybody's like, oh, I want the Disney.
I don't know. Iron Some Man parents, if the
gauntlet.
I know.
Or do you want a PS4?
For me, I know when I was a kid, there were some consoles like I had to pay for myself, or at least come up with half of the money, because my parents were like, we're not spending $300 on that. If you pay $150, we'll pay $150. And so maybe some kids like that, their parents are like, we're not spending $400 on a PS4. We'll get you a $120 toy maybe for Christmas as a big gift. I think that this is an alternative for some kids.
I think it would be super fun for like half an hour. And then if I was a kid, knowing me as a kid, I'd been like, all right, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I might come back in a month and play it. And then I'd be really bummed because my friend was playing the new video game.
No, for sure.
I was like, pew, 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 shoot my little wrist thing off. And he's like, oh, that's cool. I'm playing Grand Theft Auto, killing people.
Yeah.
Bitch, what?
Yeah. No, I get it. I'm just saying. And I played way more video games than I did. I did do imagination stuff with like little Batman figures and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just thought it was cool that Disney was trying to they were very vocal about this, how they want to make this type of electronic for your kid moving on. To get away.
2016, they're doing Star Wars. 2017, they're going to do a Frozen one.
Yeah.
So they definitely, looks like they have plans for every year coming out with a new one. I'm sure around Christmas time. But yeah, man, I think it's a really cool toy. And honestly, I would have killed to have it when I was a kid, 100%. But yeah, man, I agree. I think it's cool that they're trying to innovate toys in a way that keeps a generation, you know, that is glued to their phone and their TV and their video games.
A little more
helping
active.
Them be a little more. Totally. Like, I don't know if you saw, like, the little BB-8.
Yeah, BB-8 droid.
Yeah, the little droid, like, remote control car that you could drive with your phone. It's like $150, but it's so cool, man. Like, if I had that when I was a kid, blew my mind.
Yeah, I think that's
great.
That
movie's not even out, and it's, like, selling out, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it was really great and good on Disney for doing it. Very interesting. I mean, if they did that with Star Wars toys, like, if they did something with, like, a lightsaber that you could, like,
hit. That movie's out.
Oh, dude, if I had one of those plastic lightsabers that were collapsible that I had when I was a kid,
Holy man.
It was like the Luke Skywalker one with the it was a very specific handle for Luke Skywalker on his lightsaber.
Yeah.
I loved that thing, man. I would go out in the snowtime in Colorado and play, and it was so much fun for hours. It was great.
Well, I guarantee you, with it being like the base and a figure that you could knock over, it's going to be like the Force. Like,
oh, that'd be
push
so
him over
cool.
With the Force.
That'd be
and, like,
so
push
cool.
Your little toy across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool.
No.
Saw it.
It's exciting. There's a lot of cool stuff coming out. $120 is still a lot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess in the grand scheme,
if you're really
get outside, that's worth it.
If you're really strapped for cash and you're a family that can't afford a lot, this
just
is a good
tape
alternative.
Tape a flashlight to his hand.
It's a good alternative to video games, so I thought that was cool. But, Sean, we are running out of time, my friend, but I had another fun little question. Last week we had a good response from that question we had, be Batman for a decade or Superman for a year. I wanted to try to come up with a question like that every week if I could, and so this was my attempt at that again this week. Would you rather be a hero or an anti-hero, Sean?
I would say a hero. I mean, I think that's
and
the obvious
why?
Choice, right?
Why would you?
Well, I mean, if you're a hero, then everybody loves you. If you're an anti-hero, everybody probably hates you.
No,
you're still doing good.
Deathpool's an anti-hero. Wolverine's
yeah,
an anti-hero.
No, I would say Wolverine's probably a hero.
Mm, he walks that line, man, he kills a lot of people.
Yeah, but I think anti-hero infers justice, infers like vengeance opposed to justice.
I would put the Punisher
hero
is on as an anti-hero as well.
Which is all vengeance.
Right.
It's like
right.
His family was killed. I would even say Batman's borderline anti-hero.
No. He doesn't kill anybody. That's his one rule. He doesn't kill anybody.
No. But it's all about vengeance for him.
It's about vengeance.
It starts as vengeance.
But yeah. But it doesn't.
I said borderline. I think he's still definitely in the hero, but I think he's the closest in the hero realm that's to anti-hero.
Right. I just thought it would be cool.
He'll do whatever it takes. He won't kill somebody, but he goes up that line.
Right. I agree with you. I would rather be a hero as well.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting all the praise. I think it's a lot harder to be an anti-hero. And to be an anti-hero, because it is vengeance, means something terrible happened to you.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Deadpool was like, whatever, disfigured, horribly disfigured, and made him insane.
A science project, pretty much.
Yeah, Punisher, his wife and kids were murdered.
For sure. But no, I think a lot of people would disagree with us and want anti-hero because they love that genre of hero.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Going past that mark of... I think that's one thing I always appreciated about, like, especially DC heroes, was that there's like this code of ethics that they all kind of live by. And I feel like people like innovators like Stan Lee and stuff put this guideline in that's for the most part always been recognized and observed, that like ultimately they're to do good no matter what. And so I think that's the hero side, and then the anti-hero thing has creeped in to make it more interesting. So I don't know, man.
I agree with you. I'd rather be a hero for my reasons. I just felt like it would be more gratifying to me if I was risking my life as a hero to be 100% incorruptible. That would be more gratifying to me as if I gave in all the time to just fit whatever needs I felt like my own moral code was, you know. I don't know.
For sure.
Interesting.
And like I've said in the past, like I feel like if I had superpowers, it would scare me because I don't know if I could control myself to do just good. And so I think unless you live your life by like a very strict code, that these heroes do, I think that's kind of how it keeps themselves in check. Like if Superman wanted to, he could do anything he wanted.
He could be evil.
Like there's no,
yeah.
Yeah. And so he has to live by a very strict code that his like weird farm parents taught him to like not just go off the deep end and fuck shit up. So he has to like very consciously, you know.
Yeah. Very, very interesting topic. I thought it would be something worth talking about. I thought, it'd be interesting. Yeah.
For sure. Well, you guys out there listening, all of our great listeners, why don't you guys let us know what you think as we wrap up the show. You could always reach us at our Twitter accounts. You can reach the show at 5280Nerd. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter, and you can reach Micah at
Vash0077.
There you go. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This has been another week of 5280Nerd. We are blessed to have you as listeners, and we hope you have a great week.
Thanks so much, guys. See you next time.
And I was like, pew, 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 pew.